Praise the Lord. How many of you here are children of God? I wish one day we'd really get that. You'd be even more excited than you would be at a Texans game if they won. Or anything that the world has to offer, since this is just our temporary home, right? I know you put down stakes here. And here's the thing, they're all going to get plucked up. Every single one of them. So we might as well get excited about the things that are to come, since we are a people of eternity, not a people of the temporal world any longer, because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did by rescuing us at the cross. So we talked last week about the strangers in this world. We realize that's what we ought to be. That's what God has made us in Christ. That's what God chose us before the foundations of this very earth to be. Strangers, His people, in this world that we don't belong in. And we ended with the question, if we don't belong here, then why are we fitting in so well? When we look at this in 1 Peter today, what we're going to find out is Peter's going to give us the key to this. How many of you, God gave you a brain? A mind. The who you are inside of you. And here's the thing, He gave you this mind, and let me tell you something, the mind is so complex that they only really know a little bit about it and what it's capable of doing. Scientists all agree, we haven't even tapped it. And here's the thing, God gave us this as our central processing unit. Don't ever neglect to remember that. Because what so many Christians do, they get saved and then they try to live in the clouds. Nothing about their life is practical. Nothing about their life is common sense. Here's the thing. God gave you a brain so that you can use it. And He's going to instruct us today in His Word what it looks like to have the mind of a stranger. What does that consist of? We saw last week the making of the strangers and how we were made strangers because God foreknew us, chose us, gave us grace and mercy by His own decree. That we couldn't earn it. That we didn't do it on our own. But we did it only through the work of God, through the cross of Jesus Christ and His obedience as He endured that cross for your sake and for my sake. So as we look at this today, Peter's going to continue and he's going to give us some instructions right where we left off. 1 Peter 1:1, as we read before, we'll read it again. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Strangers who are scattered. I want us to look at this because as we read last week all the way to verse 12, we're going to not read that today because you got more probably than your wagon would haul last week. We're going to go into some instructions here. Verse 13, he says this. Therefore what? Therefore, because of everything that we looked at last week, have we come to the conclusion, people, that we are strangers here? That this is not our citizenship, that our citizenship is in heaven. We ought not to live our lives like we're putting down stakes here and that we're going to be here forever, because I'm here to tell you, we're not. And way back when, as early as we can go back to the early church, he's addressing them as stranger. God's elect, those who were chosen to come out of this world for the glory of God. So I say this to you who know Christ, stranger. Here's some instructions for you. He says, therefore, because you have been made a stranger through God's providence, through God's election. Oh, there's that word again. Through His grace, through His mercy, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, prepare your, say it with me, minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. He goes on. He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you. Not on your effort, not on your accolades, not on your works. Fully on the grace that is to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. How many long for that day? as obedient children. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Here's the thing. Up until last week, you might have been ignorant of the fact that this is not your system that you live in. This is the old system, and you might have been ignorant to that fact, and some of you were, and God brought you out of darkness and into light, and there's no more ignorance. He's brought you to truth. He said, don't continue to live like you lived when you were in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. It goes on to say, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as, here it is again, strangers here in reverent fear. We're going to talk about all these things in just a second. So we're not passing them up. We're just looking at them, and we're going to come back and we're going to grab them. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world. There's that word chosen again, don't you think? If we are to conform to the image of Christ, since He was chosen, we too will be chosen. Oh yeah. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Thank you, Jesus. For my sake. For Kirk's sake. Why? Because Kirk knew the old system of the world, the old system of sin and evil and allegiance to the enemy. But Jesus Christ, for my sake, rescued me. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Why is that important? Because Jesus said you'll know them because of their love for one another. For you have been born again. I know, that's an old-time term. We don't need to use it because it's not relevant. People don't understand what that means. It means born again. You like that? Let me do it again. I'm going to give you the definition of born again. Born twice. If you're from the South, put a T on it. Born twice. Born again. He's saying this. You died and were raised to new life through Christ. You were born a second time. I don't know why the modern, relevant, emergent church doesn't want to use terms like born again, because the world just won't understand them. The world's not going to understand anything we say until the Spirit reveals to them what it is. So here at Key Life, we're going to talk about being, watch this, born again for all you old-timers. Because that's what the Word of God says it is. And how awesome is that? That I died with Christ, I was buried with Christ, and I rose again to my second life with Christ. Woo! Praise and glory to Him. We're just an introduction. I'm already getting fired up. Y'all better hold on. Some of you are going to get this one day. It's called When You Get Saved. You realize you were dead and you were condemned. You're on your way to hell and judgment, and Jesus rescued you by His grace and His mercy. Wow. Where was I at? Born again. Huh? 23, sounds good to me. For you have been born again. There we go. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. You know what that means? My first seed I was born with was perishable, wasn't it? You know why? Because I inherited that seed from my sinful father. But the second time, I inherited that seed from my holy Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. Y'all go ahead and underline that. Y'all going to go back and you're going to look at that. Because that'll preach by itself. Through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. You listen to this, all you people who are building your kingdom here. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. Wait, don't stop there. That's where everybody stops. Don't stop there. Watch the rest. And this is the word that was preached to you. Woo! Praise and glory to God. He's saying it's not a perishable word. It's not a perishable kingdom, but imperishable. So let's look at that today. Those of you who said, hey, I'm in Christ, I'm a stranger last week, I have been chosen by God to receive this wonderful salvation. Here's the thing. He teaches us immediately, since that has happened, you need to recognize what you need to do. Prepare your minds for action. And he goes into some lessons for us, and that's where we're going to camp today. We look at the mind of a stranger. The mind of a stranger. How many of you know this? Every sin you've ever committed, every good deed you've ever committed, even good deeds unto God, all started in the same central processing unit. Your brain. Because God's given you this brain. And those of you who are in Christ, He's given you a little extra, a little bonus, the mind of Christ that lives inside of you through the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn how to exercise that mind today. Can we do that together? So, if you have the mind of a stranger, here's what it's going to look like according to the passage that we just read. Is it okay if we just go through here and just exegize this passage and look at it and let the Word of God do what it does? Let's look at it. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Number one, he says, be self-controlled. Self-controlled. What he's saying is this. He's not talking about willpower. He's talking about yourself being placed into submission toward the Holy Spirit, which results in control. Does everybody understand it? It's not you self-controlling yourself. Because that's just dumb, isn't it? You can't do it. I promise you, I went to the fellowship up here, Elevate 242 last night. I saw people didn't want that second piece of dessert. But they got it. They got it, and here's what they told themselves. I'm just going to eat a little. By little, they meant everything but that last little bit on the fork so that they can feel good about it. Right? I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm saying that is the human way of doing things. Here's the thing. When we talk about supernatural self-control, we're talking about a Holy Spirit-controlled mind. A mind that is powered by the Holy Spirit. In order to have this, let me tell you something. You have to die to your old feudal mind. How many of you know what that mind gets you? Yeah, sin. Every time, just try it. Okay? Here's the thing. You have to die to that. It is an active choice you make daily. Dying to the old feudal mind that still tries to stick its nasty fleshly head up in your processing unit. And what you have to do in dying to that is surrendering to the Spirit who gives you the mind of Christ, and now you are Spirit-powered in your thought life. I'll be the first one to tell you. Thinking something bad is not sin. Like some of your people have in error taught you. But I promise you this, if you don't get control of it in your mind, it's going to come out of your life. And the only way to get control of the things in your mind that are not of God is to submit them to the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. It's this simple, people. Please listen to me. God, I recognize that thought. And I recognize that thought as a thought Kirk would have had when he belonged to this system, when he belonged to this world, before he was made a stranger in Christ. Here's the thing. God, I do not walk in that thought. I need your Spirit to empower me to walk out from underneath this kind of futile, sinful, evil thinking. I promise you this. God is faithful. His Spirit will empower you in that moment to walk out of that thought and to think on the things that are pure and the things that are noble and the things that are worthy. But what we do most of the time, we do this, the common Christian cop-out. Well, I'm human. I just can't help it. Here's the thing. You're absolutely right. You're human. You just can't help it. But when you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, here's the thing. You no longer have the excuse of ignorant human to lay back on. You have to recognize the truth, and the truth is this. You have been set free to a new way of thinking, empowered by the Holy Spirit, which results in self-control. Spirit-powered, Spirit-propelled. Here's the thing. The Spirit is the one who's leading us. I told you before, everything we've ever done before we ever did it, we processed it here. How many of you said, man, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Something told me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Something told me that's not what I should have done. I went ahead and I did it anyway, and it cost you. Let me help you out. That was not something. That was someone. That was the Holy Spirit in the mind of the believer renewing and regenerating your old feudal mind to think like Christ. How did Christ think? Obedient thoughts. Praiseworthy thoughts. Here's the thing. So we look at this and we say our control is based on the fact that we surrender to the Holy Spirit in our thought process and become empowered by that Spirit, but also propelled by that Spirit. Driven by the Spirit. We don't talk about it enough in the church. We sometimes act as if the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. Here's the thing. Will you please listen to me, church? Jesus Christ. Some people are going to get crazy right here. The Son does not live in your heart. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God forever, making intercession for you. To who? To the Spirit of Christ that indwells you. So please understand that without reliance on the Holy Spirit of Christ in this earth, you are helpless to control anything in your life. Even as a believer, the flesh is always there in this life. The flesh is always present. And if you don't die to fleshly thoughts, it's going to result in sin. But watch this. If you as a believer do die to those fleshly thoughts and count on the Holy Spirit to lead you down a path of righteousness, propelling you for the glory of God, I promise you, He's faithful to do this. So understand, He's telling the church, since you are strangers, be self-controlled. We need some Spirit-driven believers in this church. We need some Spirit-driven believers in this community. That they don't say, well, what does so-and-so think about this? Or what does so-and-so say about this? What, number one, does the Word of God say about this? And what, number two, does the Holy Spirit inside of me say about this directly to me? How many of you know He communes directly to us through the Spirit? So if you want to exercise self-control, here's what you have to do. You have to exercise death to you. And the Spirit will gain control, and the Spirit will always lead you into the will of God and into the promises of God being fulfilled in your life. So we see number one, self-control. The mind of a stranger will be self-control. The Apostle Paul, man, he understood this, didn't he? Paul understood this. He said, I put my own body into subjection. I beat myself. Why? So that his thoughts, so that the whole process of who he used to be does not surface again. Watch this, a word we don't like in church. It's called discipline. It's the same word that we get the word disciple from. Here's the thing. We need to understand something. As children of God, as strangers in this world, we have to be disciplined in our thought process. How many of you guys in here ever have bad thoughts? When I say guys, I'm talking about all you folks, ladies, men. How many of you folks have bad thoughts? Hey, watch this. How many of you have ever had a crazy bad thought while you were in a church service? Everybody's like, listen, if you grew up in a church like I did, you're sitting there going, man, we're not allowed to admit this stuff in church. We got to hide things. You did because you have a fleshly mind. And I'm thankful one day that that mind is going to be eternally terminated. And what do you have to do? You got to get control of those thoughts, don't you? And you know this as well as I do. You can't control those thoughts. When that person cuts you off in traffic and you want to give them a piece of your mind. Huh? Right? Tell them they're number one. You had to process that, didn't you? How many of you have grown to the point in Christ where now you're starting to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit go, uh-uh, don't tell them they're number one. Huh? You're a work in progress. How many of you are to the point where you, don't you dare pull in behind them at that filling station? Young people, a filling station is where you get gas. I had to ask my daughter to bring my billfold. She's like, you mean your wallet? Yeah, I'm going to get my billfold and I'm going to go to the filling station. Right? That's how you know you're getting old. Just common things are not cool. I told them I was so cool once that they couldn't even handle all the cool I used to be. But we look at this. Pay attention. It all starts in our mind, doesn't it? He says, be self-controlled in your mind. Number two, in your mind, he wants you to be this. Look at the second part of 13. He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Not only should you be self-controlled, but you ought to be solid in your focus. Solid in your focus. What should our focus be in this world? We've talked about it over and over and over again. And I know some of you are like, man, I get so tired of hearing this. Do not get tired of hearing that our focus ought to be Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why He left us here. So the thing is, our focus ought to be Christ, right? Longing for Jesus like we sang about just a moment ago. Living for Jesus like the Word of God teaches us over and over and over again. How about reaching out to other people with the message of Jesus? Man, Scripture confirms that over and over and over again. So our focus in our mind is very important, and it needs to be solid. Here's what, listen. I know I risk something. I risk one day getting to heaven. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. Guaranteed. I risk this, and I know this. Every time I preach, I risk this when I face God. God might tell me this. You put way too much emphasis on Jesus. But I would rather Him tell me you put way too much emphasis on Jesus in here and say, Kirk, you missed the entire focal point of everything that I've done. What's to point others to Jesus so that they could come to me? I think that's probably the better, right? So here's the thing. I know that I sound like a broken record, and I've said this a bunch of times. I'll say it again. I hope before that mortician sews my mouth up the last time, I scream Jesus with the last belly of air that I have. Why? That should be our focus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus at dinner time, Jesus at supper time, and Jesus before you go to bed at night so that you can wake up again and do Jesus all over. No, Jesus ain't cool anymore. We're worried about people having good lives on their way to hell. Here's the thing. Folks, He just said, set your mind on the return of Jesus when He presents you finally with all the grace that God has stored up for you in Christ. What a day that's going to be. He says that I'm supposed to set my mind on that. You know what's cool about that? If I set my mind on Jesus, everything this world has to offer shrinks in comparison, doesn't it? Aren't we talking about being strangers? Oh, I realize if I focus on Jesus, I don't get attached to the things here. The things here are temporal, but every time I focus on Jesus, I see eternal. I see eternal love. I see eternal grace. I see eternal salvation. I see eternal sacrifice. I see Jesus Christ for all eternity. So He said, be solid in your focus. So we've seen we be self-controlled. Be solid in your focus. Number three, be set apart to God. Be set apart to God. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. We've already read this. We're going to read it again. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb, without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Set apart to God. How are we set apart to God? As strangers in this world, in our minds, how are we set apart? First, He says, holy. He's talking about holiness. You know what's crazy? We in the church in America have exchanged legalism for holiness. We've exchanged legalism for holiness. We think this. We think holiness starts on the outside. That's legalism, people. Do you understand? That is you in your outward efforts trying to impress a God who is not impressed by your outward efforts. How many of you understand this? If you're going to walk in holiness, holiness starts internally. Watch this. Holiness, according to what we just read, starts right here. Lord Jesus, I know your word says, be holy, for God the Father is holy. I need you through your word and through your spirit to teach me what holiness looks like. How many of you, when you grew in Christ, you didn't have to have anybody tell you how to dress modestly? It just started happening. How many of you didn't have to have anyone tell you? There was this voice in your head. You need to clean up your talk at the break room. You need to not laugh at the jokes you used to laugh at. You need to not go the places that you used to go. How many of you know that is the Spirit of Christ speaking to your mind that results in holiness? Why? Because God's desire in Christ, watch this, pay attention, was to raise up a holy people. People that are set apart from the rest of this world. Watch this. Stranger. That when people see your life, they say, man, you don't do that? Not anymore. I love to say that. Not anymore. I don't mind them knowing I had a past. We all do, don't we? Not anymore. Question number two, right? Well, how come? Well, because one day God came to me. Oh, and He's a holy God. When I couldn't come to Him, what do you mean you couldn't come to Him? I was dirty. And He came to me and He exchanged my sinful filth for Jesus Christ, holy righteousness. And because of that, the Holy Spirit has now moved into my life and the Holy Spirit is continually disciplining me in my mind to conform to the image of Christ. Why? Because that's who God preordained me to conform to. And He's holy. Any arguments there? He's holy. So we look at this and we talk about holiness. Listen, holiness does not start on the outside. If you wear a long denim skirt and a bun in your hair and no makeup, that does not make you holy. You know who I'm talking about. They're at Pizza Hut, the latest. Doesn't make you holy. Holiness starts inside you by the work that God is doing through His Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. According to what we just read, He said, get your mind ready for holiness. Lord, show me. Show me, Lord, in my innermost being so that I can process it in my brain what You expect of me. Not what church people expect of me. That's how legalism spreads. That's how legalism is born. You know what? I don't expect anything of you but this. Watch. To live your life like you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He'll take care of everything else. I promise you. Solid in your self-controlled, solid in your focus, set apart to God. He said to holiness. But then He said to reverent fear. Reverent fear. That's healthy fear. You know, we're not allowed to say that in church anymore either. This lost world don't understand terms like fear God. Let me tell you something. You better check yourself. You better learn to understand statements like fearing God. Well, I'm afraid that if we use terms like fearing God, it's going to scare the little children. Listen, you ought to teach your children to fear God. You ought to teach your children that there are consequences when you violate a holy God's mandates. And here's the thing, we're all violators. So guess what? The consequence is this. The wages of sin is death. I'm so glad it didn't stop. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can you teach your children to be saved if you don't first teach your children that they've offended a holy God and they ought to, in reverent fear, repent of that sin and turn to Him as the only sacrifice and the only redemption that they'll ever find on this earth? We're just afraid we'll scare the children. We don't want them to be afraid of God. Teach them that it's not being afraid like you're afraid of the boogeyman. It is fear in the sense of the utmost respect for His holy position. That's reverent fear towards God. He said, in your mind, fear God. You know what we as Christians ought to do? We ought to process things like this. If I do this, would this be offensive to God? Would I do this if God was watching me? Can I help you out? He is. He's already seen it. But we don't approach things like that. You know why? Because what we've done is we've inadvertently taught people for a generation to no longer fear God. Just do whatever you want to do, and at the end, you get heaven. Right? The Apostle Paul himself said, shall we sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. What is he saying? God forbids that. That's contrary to the holiness that he died for you to walk in. Don't do that. But we see so many people who live in that realm of cheap grace. Do whatever you want to do because I'm going to heaven. You got one of two problems. Problem number one, you're not truly saved. You're not really going to heaven. Or number two, you hadn't come to grips with the fact that in your mind, you ought to think about how God is setting you apart and then live like you're set apart. Holiness, reverent fear, healthy fear. And he talks about hope in God. He tells us in verse 21, at the end, he says, and glorify him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Let me tell you something, folks. Our faith and our hope as believers ought to be in God. Do you know where we process these things? Do you know where the war happens? How many of you battle your old sin nature with your hands? Anybody? With your feet? No, we don't battle our old sin nature in the external. You better understand something. There is a war in your mind that goes on every single day. Should I choose sin like my very human nature tells me, or should I die to that very human nature and choose holiness and God's will for my life that He would be glorified? Why do you think it's so important that Peter keeps reminding them you're strangers, and so as strangers think differently than you ought to think or that you used to think? Be set apart to God in your thoughts. Separate those thoughts. Again, I encourage you, take that thought and ask yourself this one simple question. Where did that thought come from? If your thought was to A, bust somebody in the mouth, or B, not bust them in the mouth, let me tell you this. Thought A came from your old mind. Thought B came from the Spirit inside of you, leading you into righteousness for the sake and glory of God. Pretty simple, huh? We've complicated this for years. I'm the guy who God has sent to make it all simple so that people can understand. Taking those thoughts captive. Before those thoughts are unleashed to result in action. How many of you have ever practiced this in your life? How many would be honest and say, when I practice this in my life, holiness results in my life. I find myself doing the things God wants me to do instead of finding myself doing the things that I want to do. Well, I'm thankful that God has allowed His Holy Spirit to live in me, to change me, to remake me into who Jesus Christ died for me to be. My prayer is every day, Lord, let me get old Kirk Hall and all his wicked and evil thoughts out of the way so that I can walk in the mind of Christ. It's called dying to yourself. It's a thing Jesus taught to his disciples while they were here on the earth. We need to probably grasp that and live with it. Self-controlled in our mind, solid in our focus, set apart to God. He says in verse 22, and I'll hurry, verse 22, sincere in love. Look at verse 22. He says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from your heart. You know what he says there? He says that we need to sincerely love people. Sincere in our love. That's this. That's not syrupy, churchy love. Did you know that? Sincere love from the depths of our heart is get knee-deep in the mud with them, help them through this process, walk them through this journey that they're in, kind of love. That's this, wiping the puke off their face when they don't quite have it yet, and you're there to love them and encourage them. That's the kind of sincere love that he's talking about, because sincere love is going to wipe the puke off their face and going to help them to get back on the direction that Jesus died for them to be on. Everybody understand that? This is not love. Okay, I hope everything works out for you. Wait a second, man. Your brother has just come to you and he has fallen. And it is your duty, watch this, to love him to the point that you pick him back up and you restore him. Anybody been missing that in Scripture? Because it's all over the place. Reconciliation, watch this, that's what Jesus did. That's the model he gave us. Let's pick some folks up out of the gutter and love them. Love those that are hard to love. Love those that don't smell real good, don't have it all right yet. He says your love should be sincere. Sincerely, we've received love from Christ. And it's our duty to sincerely love others with that same kind of love. How many of you realize that Jesus came to you while you were wallowing in your filth? Did you know that? He didn't come to the leper, heal the leper, then have a relationship with him. He came to the leper when he had leprosy, had a relationship with him, then he was healed. Here's the thing. Understand, in our lives, it works the same way. He comes to the sinner, and he institutes that relationship. It's what we talked about last week. And in that relationship, that sinner finds healing and cleansing from their sin. Please understand that. That's how we're to love other people. Let's not try to make them church people, but before we show them the love and sincere love of Jesus Christ, let's show them we love them. We see sincere in our love. And then verse 23 and 25, and I'm done. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. I want you to see in our mind, we have to be self-controlled, solid in our focus, set apart to God, sincere in our love. And pay attention to this one. Secure in our position. Secure in our position. People ask me all the time, man, you really believe in eternal security? And I tell them this, I don't believe a person can really walk the Christian life until they're finally secure in who they are. Because it is in my security in who I am in Christ that I become in this life who He desires me to be. Up until then, I'm just a failure and feel like I can't do anything right. So I want you to understand something. We're secure in our position. If you are born again here today, let me tell you this. You will never, ever, ever be unborn again. It's contrary to the very nature of God. How many of you, when you came to Christ, you entered into a blood covenant with God? Raise your hand. That will not ever, ever, ever be broken because it is a covenant of blood from God. It's eternal. So here's the thing. When we get our secure position, we can get the other things. Because I am secure in Christ, now I want to be self-controlled. Because I am secure in Christ, I want Him to be my solid focus. Because I am secure in Christ, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit's work to continue in me and set me apart. Because I am secure in Christ, I'm going to be sincere in the love I have toward others. So when we look at this, please understand it's through new birth. The new birth that you did not earn on your own, but that He gave to you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And in that new birth, you were rescued through the Word. What does that mean? What is that talking about? Why would He throw some verse in there that we always use out of context about the Word? He's telling you that because the Word of God will stand forever. You know what He's doing? He's saying, if God said you're saved by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. You're saved. And the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Everything that He's ever promised you, it's eternal. Secure in your position through the new birth. Secure in your position through the Word, the eternal Word. It says it's living and it's eternal. When all else fades, you have the promises of God to hold on to. When everything around you falls, when this earth caves in, the Word of God stands forever. Why do you think that's important? that he says this in the midst of telling us that we're strangers, because this system will fall. But the promises of God and the security of salvation in Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever fall. It is eternal and it's stamped by God's blood for you and for me forever. So please understand that. You say, why do you get so excited about it? Man, who doesn't get excited about that? Why you gotta scream all the time? I can't help it. Just something inside of me comes out. There's a fire inside. I can't do anything about it. Just let it roll. Let it burn. And every time I read the Word and see the promises in the Word, it's more wood on that fire. He's telling us as we look at this today that I am secure in my position through that Word. The eternal Word, the enduring Word. You know why I love that? He calls it his enduring word. You know why? Because I was trained wrong at one time, inadvertently, by well-meaning church people. That God's promises are good as long as you're doing right. As long as you got it all together. I was like, man, I don't ever have it all together. So what I did is I watched from good religious people on how to fake it real good. You've heard the old saying, fake it till you make it. You can't make it. You can get real religious. You can learn to talk Christianese. You know what I'm talking about? Hell will be full of people who know Christianese. They'll get there and they'll beg God in 1611 King James English to let them into heaven, and it'll be too late. The fact of the matter is, when I learn about His Word and see things like this, enduring, no matter what I face, His promises remain. Aren't you glad that God's faithfulness to His promise is not based on our performance, but on His grace? So we look at this and He says, I want you in your mind to establish in your mind your secure position. The fact that you were born again. The fact that the Word never, ever ceases to remain. He is always faithful to what He has said. And let me tell you this. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Watch this. That will never change for those of us who are in Christ. Because something that God called everlasting can't then turn and be temporal. It is eternal. People say, well, you just believe in eternal security because you're around all them Baptists. No, I believe in eternal security because it's consistent with God all the way through Scripture. You can even look at the Jew right now. Hey, let me ask you this. Have the Jews rebelled against God? Have they turned their back on Jesus Christ, the only Son of God? Watch this. Is He still their God and are they still His people? Watch this. Yes. Understand that. The promises that you are in Christ are because He made a promise to Abraham that you got engrafted in. Even when we're unfaithful, He's faithful. That's security in Christ. Let me tell you something. It has saved me, watch this, over and over and over again from becoming defeated and from becoming just totally downcast. How many of you would say, that's right, because I remember. No, that's not who I am. That's who I used to be. And Jesus Christ has saved me forever for His glory. And now it's time to get up and dust off, repent, and go on about your business. So in our minds, we need to be self-controlled as strangers. How many of you are getting this? You're strangers. We have to be self-controlled in our minds, solid in our focus in our minds, set apart to God in our minds. Wake up every day. God, I'm yours. This is your day. This is your 24 hours. It's not mine. I'm going to throw my list of things to do in the trash. And God, I need you to put on my heart through your spirit the list of things you would have me to do. That's how a stranger who's set apart for God lives in this world. But you don't understand, Pastor, I'm a plumber. God, every call that I make today, send me to people who need the love of Christ. Send me to people who need to be embraced by you. Let me do your will in everything that I do. That's a stranger doing plumbing work while he's passing through this world. Set apart to God, sincere in our love, secure in our position. Thank you, Jesus. So I ask you this, do you have the mind of a stranger in your life? Do you have the mind of a stranger? Peter's encouraging us here. Hey, since I told you you're a stranger, you need to prepare your minds living like you're a stranger. So I ask you that. Do you have the mind of a stranger? Believer, listen to me. You know Christ here today? What's going on in your mind? Unbeliever, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I know what's going on in your mind. What if? Could this be? Is this real? Man, this guy seems pretty passionate about it. I may not believe it, but I guarantee he does. In just a moment, I pray for you, those of you who don't know Jesus Christ, I pray that God would knock the scales off your eyes and you would see the truth of the love of God that was shown to you at the cross through Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection. And today, you would leave here a new person, a new creation in Christ, a stranger in this world. Would you stand your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? You're here today and you say, Kurt, you spoke to the unbeliever a second ago, you spoke right to me. I've never really surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. In fact, I don't know that I've ever been drawn like I'm being drawn right now. And I feel God telling me that I need to turn from my life and sin. To turn to Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. He's giving me the faith to trust in His finished work today for the very first time. I need Him to forgive me of my sin, to wash me clean, to give me the new life that only He can give. If you're here today and you say, I need Jesus to save me from my sin and from myself today, would you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you, pray for you. Raise it up high where I can see you, where I can look at you, where I can pray with you. Say, I need Jesus to save me today. I feel His Spirit calling me out of darkness and into light. Raise it up high where I can see you. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. What does God say about your life right now? Anyone like that says, I need Jesus as my Savior today. I know today is that day. Anyone like that, raise it up high. You're here and you say, Kurt, I'm a believer. I'm secure in Christ. 100% I know that I'm His child. But to be completely honest with you, and let me tell you what I'm not asking you to do. I'm not asking you to get honest with me. I'm asking you to get honest with your Heavenly Father. I'm asking you to get honest with the Holy Spirit living inside of you and convicting you right now. But you say, Kurt, to be honest with you, be honest with God, I would have to say that in my mind, I probably don't look a whole lot different than most of the other people that I run with. I probably don't look a whole lot different than the rest of this world, but I know there's something inside of me, His Spirit, that's leading me to grasp this concept of the mind of a stranger, that I would exercise self-control, that I would be solid in my focus toward Jesus Christ, and set apart to God in holiness, reverence, fear, and hope. Sincere in my love toward others. Secure in the position that He's given me. Would you be honest today and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm that believer. But I'm letting my mind control me into doing things that I used to do when I belonged to this old world because I lost sight of the fact that I'm a stranger. Who would be honest and raise their hand and say, that's me? All I want to do is pray with you, pray for you. You say, that's me. In just a moment, the altars are going to be open. I pray that you as believers would come before your God confidently before His throne and confess to Him, Lord, I've lost focus. I've lost sight. I've lost purpose. I want to die to my old human mind and I want to live to the mind of Christ that lives inside of me through the Holy Spirit, that I would bring you glory with this life that you've given me in my short time as I'm passing through this world as a stranger. If you're here today and you say, Kirk, I should have raised my hand to be saved, and I didn't. It's not too late. You come down the aisle and you grab these people to my right and to my left and you say, I need Jesus to save me today. They'll take the Word of God and they'll show you what it means to truly surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Allow the Spirit to have His way in your life.
Surrender all to Him, my free. Say yeah.